Good evening, good evening. It's your boy Joey Fresh, yes to death, right here in the palm of your hand, all around the world. I am super excited and thrilled to bring my boy on the air tonight. He's basically going to share and also help you on your path and give you some good words and advice. Before we get that and bring him on, all I just ask is for this to continue to help and become a subscriber by helping donate $1, $5, $10 to the platform to help us and move further more on this amazing, amazing broadcast, the Joey Fresh Show, ladies and gentlemen. So, as I go and get him on the air, I want to say once again, I thank each and every one of you for taking the time out your day to listen to your boy Fresh. So, at the moment, we're going to go to a commercial, come back, and go straight into life. Welcome, welcome to the Joey Fresh Show, right in the palm of your hand. This is my boy, Alex. Please, Alex, let everyone know and tell us a little bit about yourself, my guy.
What is up, everyone? First and foremost, just want to thank Joey for getting me on this show today. So my name is Alex for everybody who don't know me. Man, where to begin? You know, I'm a 29-year-old, young, hungry, ambitious soldier for Christ. I'm a married man to a beautiful wife, got a dog, and newly relocated to San Antonio about 4 years ago. So that is who I am.
man, this guy, like, it was amazing how we both connected on the court of playing basketball.
Yes.
And from there, it's just like it took amazing journey from the beginning to where we're heading at now. And, you know, I am so thrilled and happy that, you know, where we're heading towards in the future. So as well, like, tell the viewers all around the world about what have you started in your business as well. What part in your life, as you and your wife are in the business as well, when did Jesus Christ find you on this amazing journey where you're heading towards from the beginning until now?
Yeah, great question. So my business is a wellness coaching. You know, we are independent distributors for a product called Herbalife. And what we do is help people get healthy. And, early on in my journey, I started when I was 21 and started my business. I just always knew for me, you know, I knew I wanted more out there. I knew that, you know, I want to kind of be in control. And I don't know if that was the ego side of it, of knowing that I know that I can do a great job by myself in a sense. And so, you know, when I was looking for the opportunity, it kind of just landed in my lap. And, I didn't really start my walk with Christ until I was about 25, I believe, about 4 years ago. I grew up Catholic, wasn't really involved in the church. It was one of those things of like, you know, you just go to church because everybody else does it. I'm from a small border town in the Rio Grande Valley and, you know, population like 10,000, very small town. Everybody knows everybody kind of deal. And, it wasn't really a pillar in my family of going to church or, you know, having Christ in your life, you know. And I think more than anything, it was like acknowledging it. Like, I believed in God, you know, I know there was a God, you know. I didn't think that we got here from the Big Bang, you know. I knew that there was a creator, you know. But I didn't really have the relationship until about 4 years ago. That was about 4 years ago where I started my walk with Christ.
Now, just for those who's listening, you know, once again, we don't push religion, but we share what we go and we walk with. You know, that's the man of Christ. Knowing that you were raised up, like I was, raised up Catholic, right? On that did you feel like there was a difference in between that, you know, hey, you know, at this point right now, I understand what I'm basically getting fed of the information, but I felt like I wasn't really connected as I'm connected now towards what I've been walking with.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, early on, like I said, you know, it wasn't really a you should do this kind of thing because you want to. It was because, hey, everybody you know is doing it, so you got to do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that in the beginning for me, like I said, I didn't really take it serious because it wasn't my doing. You know, it wasn't because I wanted to. But, you know, God really has his ways of, you know, having you go through certain experiences for you to truly see him in your life. And I like to call them little God winks, you know, where he's like, hey, I'm here, you know. And so, yeah. You know, it started to come up about, like I said, when I was about 25, I had just moved from San Marcos to San Antonio. And so a little quick backstory, I moved out of my hometown as soon as I graduated high school in 2010. And that was my first time really being alone, you know, and not having a familiar place that I was around.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during those times where I feel like I was in the darkest time of my life.
Yeah.
Being alone, depressed, you know, not really knowing what I wanted to do with my life. You know, I had my business, but it was more of a hobby for me. Wasn't really taking anything serious. And, you know, I think in those moments is when I was at my lowest is when really God kind of showed up in my life. And I started to experience a couple of things that started having me raise some questions, you know. And I think, I know that was God kind of like, you know, hey, I just want to let you know I'm here, you know, which was totally different versus, hey, you need to go to Sunday Mass because we're all going, you know. So I think that was one of the biggest differences that I realized in my journey, in my walk.
Man, bro, it's just crazy how, like, when you're walking and, you know, easy to relate to that because, you know, a little about me and you've been helping me, you know, walking through the valley and, you know, going to the light, you know, realizing that it's without knowing the real truth of what you've been through, you know, I think what I've been going through was like the hardships on, you know, who am I to find out that God's waiting for you to recognize and to open up to say, hey, I'm ready to receive you and waiting for you to show me the way. Cause I think sometimes we get kind of stubborn to say, I got it. I don't need it. I don't need you. But in reality, it's like we're walking by ourselves on the path that knowing that we have our Father right there waiting for us next to us.
Yeah. Indeed, man. And just real quick, Joe, I don't know if you know I totally slipped my mind. I wanted to actually open this up in prayer if you don't mind.
Hey, go for it, man. Let's do it.
Lord, Father God, we just thank you so much for this amazing day, God. We're so grateful for the fact that we got to wake up today, Lord. We know the fact that we woke up, it means we're still being worked on, Lord. And I just pray for every single viewer, listener on this podcast, God, that you just let them know that they are loved, God, and that they just feel your presence here, Lord, and that we can just be messengers and vessels, you know, to shine your love onto people and bless the ears that are hearing.
Hello? Oh, yeah. You okay?
Yeah. I think I
have. That was a strong prayer. The enemy is like, nah, he ain't going to share around the world. He can't step right in.
Right.
Never mind. Continue, my brother.
Yeah, so, you know, I'll just kind of go through my experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was 2017 when me and my girlfriend at the time decided to make probably one of the biggest jumps of our lives. You know, leaving everything we had in a comfortable town that we had lived there for 5 years and built up a pretty good structure and solid business for ourselves. And, you know, we got a call one day and they're like, hey, we want to, you know, have you guys come and open up the San Antonio market. And at the time, you know, we don't have kids or anything. And at the time it just made sense. You know, I think our time there was being cut short already. I was already done with school. Sarah was done teaching at the university. And so we were kind of there in the crossroad of like, what are we going to do now? You know, and
mm-hmm.
we got the call. And, you know, Sarah, just a quick backstory. Sarah grew up in the church as a Christian and, you know, went to backyard Bible clubs, went on mission trips, you know, really was out there spreading the gospel, you know, and spreading God's love. But, you know, she had her own experience and it's awesome kind of talking about it and, you know, how it all kind of intervened all together where we got together. And so she, you know, she actually went as far away as she could from the church, you know, and she went through her own trials and her own, you know, hangups that she was going through in her life. And at the time, actually before we moved, you know, I was having these dreams and experiences and God was just really, you know, tugging at me. And I remember I asked her and I'm like, you know, hey, like, this is what's happening. Like, what do you think it is? You know, because I knew that she had experience, you know, being a Christian and mm-hmm. just more equipped than me, you know, to try to uncover things. And, you know, it actually helped her get her faith back, you know, so it kind of worked, you know, on the both of us of me wanting to learn more and her kind of coming back to it. So, it was a really, really fun story to experience and a little bit more into it. Right. But that's just kind of the surface level of it. But, yeah, moved here and we just knew that if this was going to succeed, that God had to be in it. You know, even in our relationship, we knew if we wanted it to succeed, like God had to be in it, you know, and I don't think that's taught, you know, I think that's learned, you know, by yourself or someone actually takes the time to explain that, you know, and it's not like we go to school and they're talking about like, hey, if you want to succeed, you know, make sure God's at the center, like, you know.
True.
It's not like that, you know, and so we're fortunate enough to have a very strong couple really, you know, pour into our lives and show us, you know, hey, like, you know, this is the way, you know, God is the way and you just put your faith in him and, you know, you're going to see the other side of it. And so when we moved, we were just kind of like, you know, let's really just dive into it, you know, and so yeah, it's really amazing to see just how God's worked in our lives. And, you know, don't get me wrong. It's a lot of self-reflection, a lot of healing on the inside for each one of us. And, you know, it was a real eye opener of like, wow, like this is where the world has just kind of torn us into pieces in these areas of our life. And, you know, God is really helping us heal these different areas to then be able to help someone else, you know, that might be going through something similar, you know.
At one point in your life or both your lives, when did you feel like before you found Christ was like the darkest moments? Like, hey, like, if, and that's like, was that the moment that you felt that tug coming along? Like, hey, like, I think this is, something that we need to and get more spiritual, because at that moment was like the walk. You know how when I say the walk, it's like, you know, the valley, right? The dark valley of the walk, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think at the time, you know, when God was really tugging on me, it was, like I said, at a time where, you know, I was living in an area I had never been in. I was away from my family. I was heavily addicted to pornography at one point, doing drugs. You know, I was smoking since I was like 16, you know. And it was just, and there, you know, in San Marcos, you're around all these bars and stuff. So it was just literally just the devil's playground, you know. And I think being at that point, it was just like, man, like you really, it just like one day was kind of like, man, what are you doing with your life? Like, what are you really doing? And I think that's when the depression hit of like, man, like I'm not even going anywhere. I'm not doing anything. You know, it's just a waste. And, you know, for me, I'm a very positive person, you know. And so for me to be thinking like that, you know, it really was like, wow, okay, yeah, this is kind of different. And like I said, at the time, it was, I was at the grocery store, as a matter of fact, and me and Sarah had been dating already. And I was at the grocery store, and randomly, this man behind me is like, hey, are you a health coach? Because I was wearing a sweater that said health coach. And I'm like, yeah. So we just started talking and lying, you know, waiting to pay for groceries.
Yeah.
I kid you not, this interaction felt like it was 20 minutes, and it was probably like a minute. But it was so surreal and like weird, because long story short, we're there chatting and I felt like I disappeared mentally for a second. And then when I came back to my senses, all I hear him telling me is, you are now a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I was like, what is your name? what did you just tell me? And so, you know, he tells me his name is Benjamin, right? I'm like, what? Like, what just happened? So then I get home, you know, and I'm telling Sarah, and she's like, wow, that's crazy, you know. I don't even know what a disciple was, you know. I was like,
yeah,
Googling it, you know, like, what is disciple, right? And then I ended up having a dream. And in the dream, I had a vivid experience of, like what hell would look like. A very vivid experience of what, you know, heaven looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a thing of, like, you know, seeing both sides. And when I woke up, I immediately told Sarah, and I started like Googling like what happens. Oh, and in my dream I saw angels also, seven of them.
Dang.
So okay. I was on Google, right? Because we Google everything.
Yes. Like,
what does it mean to have a dream about angels, you know? And so I found it, and you know what something said. It's like, either you're doing something really bad, and that's God's way of telling you, like, hey, you should probably stop that.
Yeah.
Or like you're doing something good. It's in a way of encouraging, you know. And so I thought to myself, and I'm like, well, I know I'm not really doing nothing bad, you know. I wasn't really at a bad place in my life at that time, you know. I was helping people lose weight, helping them get healthy. I was leading a fit camp. Like,
yeah.
I was with Sarah, you know. I didn't really see myself doing at least what I was doing in the past, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know what? I'll take that as a sense of encouragement. And so I had one more interaction happen. This was really, well, like when it started for me. At a red light, I saw this man pushing his truck to the gas station. And I was in that moment of like, man, should I go help him? And so light turned green. I'm like, you know what? Let's do it. I start helping him out. I push him to the gas pump, and we just start chit-chatting. And, he literally gave me this flyer and invited me to church. And I hadn't been to church in like a long time.
Yeah.
So he's like, man, thank you so much for helping me out. You know, I asked him, I'm like, hey, well, you know, if you know anybody wanting to get healthy. And he's like, as a matter of fact, I do. And here's a flyer for you. If you know anybody, you know, or yourself, I'd like to invite you to our church. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like, you know, and it was kind of a sequence of events, you know, of hey, this happened and this happened. And then boom, like the invitation, you know. And that's when it really kind of started. Like I was going to church and it was this small little church. We were the youngest ones in there. Everybody was probably like 60 and up. And, you know, it was just such a small, humble little church that it was the perfect church for me to build my foundation in and really understand, like, the Word of God and understand the work He was doing in my life. And the people I met at that church, man, I still keep in contact with them today because that pastor there was a huge pillar in my faith walk and building the foundation. His name is Pastor David Fleming. You know, he was a real big foundation brick in my walk with Christ. And, you know, he really taught the gospel in a way that was simple and easy for anybody to understand, especially if it was new for them, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that was a big foundation setting in my life when I started my walk.
Man, that's powerful, bro. That's so powerful. Because, you know, I pray that somebody that basically listened that could basically use this, because we're all walking a different path. And, you know, what you're going through, that how God was basically putting markers along your path and basically leading the way that He know was best for you to get where you're heading to, like right now.
It's like checkpoints, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did you put in motion, you and Sarah, say, you know what? I think we're good right now where we're at with God. When do you start putting faith into the business as God's raising both of you up within the faith of love that He basically been guiding both of you from what you both previously been through?
Yeah, you know, I think when we moved, like I said, is when it started. And, you know, we understood, and her parents were a very big also foundation in our walk as well. Because the moment they found out that we were living together and stuff, they cut her off, you know. And, I mean, they're big believers. Hey, you know, you don't live with someone until you're married. And you know, in the beginning, I didn't really understand that, but now I really do. And so when we were living together, you know, and having sex before marriage on all these things, and her mom told her, I'm just sad that you're going to miss out on all of God's favor for your life, like choosing to live like this. And in that moment, I didn't know anything. I'm like, what is she talking about? You know, like people, like in my culture, it was like, I mean, everybody has kids. Like you don't even get married. Everybody lives with each other. You're not married. You know, all my cousins, they're not married. Like they have kids, they live together. So it wasn't anything different for me, you know,
yeah,
living that way. But, you know, when she said that, that kind of stuck with me, you know, and I'm like, what does she mean? And so when we moved to San Antonio, it was like, you know, knowing all this information, knowing all this new found knowledge about God, and now knowing, you know, the way we're living isn't the right way. You know, we actually decided, you know, we're going to practice celibacy until we're married, you Oof. Know. So yeah. we were together, I believe, 3 years or 2 years, 2-3 years already, you know. And that was I think a big thing in our relationship was, you know,
getting intimate with each other and stuff. And mm-hmm. when that was torn away, or when we decided for it, you know, to be, to practice celibacy, I think it was a big thing, you know, for the both of us, because, you know, Sarah had healing for her own, and I also had healing in myself as well that needed to be done. And so, you know, that's when we really truly started to act out what we were saying and praying and stuff, and not just kidding ourselves of, I'm just going to say good scripture to make me feel good. You know, we a vow of like, all right, cool, we're not going to have sex until we're married. Like, and so for 18 months, you know, we were celibate, and, within that 18-month mark, you know, we got engaged, and we were going to get married. And right before we got married, we got baptized. And so for us, that was like a symbolic way of like cleaning our old self to get ready for this new version of ourselves, a married couple in the eyes of God. And so when that happened, that's when it was truly like, God, we give it all to you. We give you our business, our marriage, our relationship life, our finances. And we just literally just put it into practice, you know, at that moment of like, it's all yours, God. Cause for us, it was like, we know like anything that we get is not even from us. It's from him.
Well, true.
And we're clear on that, you know, with ourselves. So, I mean, just as fast as God will give you something, he'll take it away just as quick. You know, and so that was like, you know, when we were on that verge of getting married was when we really, you know, gave it all to God and wanted him to just to do miraculous work in our lives.
Man, that's strong power. I have never heard somebody that basically, you know, for 18 months, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's society. I'm not gonna lie. Society kind of drills us when we mm-hmm. see TV or social media or and lust is all around us. You know,
temptation was there.
You know, I'll tell you something that I never told nobody. But you know, growing up, never having that relationship for me was I thought love was sex. So for me, I was just slaying girls, not knowing what I was doing spiritually and not mm-hmm. knowing what I was doing physically, because I thought, hey, you know, the way you love a girl is to sleep with her. In reality, mm-hmm. I was just basically damaging her soul because I was playing with her emotions and not knowing that I was being more selfish.
Yeah. And soul ties, man. Soul ties are a real thing.
It is. You know, and I learned that now, like, when you do basically do have, like, you know, sex among somebody and you're so immersed together, it's the biggest different feeling in the world.
Mm-hmm.
What was it called? The complex or the hyplex? I forgot the name of it. But when you hit that among each other, it's just that you're so bond among each other.
Mm-hmm.
But man, you know, and that's why I'm happy that where I'm heading towards what I'm learning from you. Like, bro, like, you taught me a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Or what's that one thing that you said that, man, you really, like, stick to me? That you said fake? You said God don't give fake or God don't bless fake?
God don't bless fake.
God doesn't bless fake.
Yeah.
And breakdown.
What that means is, you know, only we know, like, if we're really truly showing up as the version of ourselves that we know God created us to be, you know, and only we know if we're faking, you know, different aspects of our life just to make it sound good or make it look good or, you know, and so it's exhausting, you know. Why do you think so many people commit suicide and all these things? It's like, you know, not saying that they're living a fake life, but it's a lot of pressure to bear, you know, trying to live up to different standards of life and social media and all these things. And you know, it's tough on the person. And when your spirit is weak, like, you know, it's a easy way for the enemy to kind of seep in, you know, and start planting seeds of doubt, seeds of shame, and all these different things, you know. And so what I mean by God don't bless fake, it's like, you know, we're trying to be this other thing that he created us to be. And it's like, hey, I didn't create you to do what you're doing right now. I created you to be abundant. I created you to be a child of the king. I created you to be, you know, in charge of the whole earth, you know, of like yourself and stuff. And so it's like when you're going against it, trying to do something else or trying to be something else, it's like you feel like you're swimming upstream. You feel like you can never catch a break. Like, and so that's what I mean by God don't bless fake.
Man, like swimming against that current, you're about to drown because there's no, you're putting all that hard work in for nothing.
And guess what? God's there with the life vest, with his hand reaching out. Just like, hey, just be real. Be you. I got you.
Hey, that's true. That's true. And what was one of your obstacles you had to face? Like, but you overcame it. Like, you know, that God sometimes tests us in reality to see if where we're at. Has God ever test you, like, in a moment that, like, you said this and I want to see you if you're a man of your word?
Mm-hmm. I think in my finances, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't really grow up like poor or like in poverty. I mean, I feel my parents did everything they could to make sure I had what I needed when I needed it, kind of thing, mm-hmm. which I'm very grateful for. But when I moved away from home, you know, I really challenged myself to not have support, you know. And it got to the point where it's like I had negative like $30 in my account at one point in my life. And I was just like, wow, like I took a screenshot of it. I don't think I have the picture anymore, but I remember I was like, dang. This is crazy, you know. And as you know, as we started to really move in our business and things started to happen, it's like there would be instances that I would, you know, make this purchase that wasn't needed, or I would be lackadaisical in my spending and not budgeting. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, God really humbled me in that realm of my life of, you know, if you don't learn how to take care of the stuff I give you, I'm not going to give you anymore.
Ooh.
Oh, and it's like, if we're not faithful with the few that he gives us, how can we expect more? Right? If you are a farmer and you have two sheep, and those two sheep, you do not take care of them and feed them and bathe them and make sure they're good, but you're over here saying you want 50 sheep, God's like, you ain't even taking care of the two I gave you. Why am I going to give you 50? You know, and so it's like with this, it was like, you know, hey, I'm giving you finances to get by, but you say you want this, you want more, but the little that I've given you, you're not even being a good steward. You're not even tithing. You're not even being giving. Like, why am I going to give you more? Mm. Right. So I had to learn these philosophies, and I just use finances because it's easy to talk about. But it's like that, you know, and I think, you know, with finances, it's a lot of people's challenge, you know.
True.
And so it's understanding that, hey, you know, if you want God to bless you in finances, well, what are you doing to give? And it doesn't have to be monetary. you know, he wants you to use the gifts that he has blessed us with. And I think that's a journey in itself of really trying to see, like, how did God hardwire me? Like, what am I meant for? You know?
I love how you said that, because last night, I was talking to one of our friends, his brothers-in-laws, and I told him, this lady sat next to me. She was a deaf lady. She was doing sign language, right? And I know some. And the reason I know some is because the event that we went to in South Padre, one of the successful ladies there was deaf, right? And so I remember the hand gestures that you wave, right? And when she came around and she was like talking to us, I did the hand gesture and she was like all happy. But fortunately, she didn't have enough money. And we had a good conversation for just a little bit of time. And she was so heartbroken because she lost her mom 2 months ago. And she was showing me a lot of pictures of her. And I said, you know what? I gave her something because, and I relate this to my friend, his brother-in-law, that for what you ask and what you have, to share those among those that really need it. Because sometimes in moments when you do need it and you ask, but God said, I give you some, but you can't share it among others that needs it. Mm-hmm. And there's a moment in that breaking that you could tell who really does need it and who's just not really need it, you know, because I think we get kind of confused to understand how homeless are misled when we see them. Like, you kind of see, like, oh, he's really playing the system, or you see them like, this person really needs something, you know?
Yeah.
And the reason why I talked about this is because what you said is that we ask for something, we do, we ask for God. And God said, you know what? You ask for something, I will give it to you. But are you ready to receive it if you're waiting to handle it? Mm-hmm. You know, I think everyone wants to be a millionaire. But God says you can't control $500 and you're always broke living paycheck to paycheck. How can I bless you with amount of money if you can't even basically deal with $500? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I like you. I love for you when you say that, because I think majority, we do have a problem. I had a problem in the beginning. I'm dealing my problem. Like, I was living paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, like, hey, that's never going to get me out of rock. It's going to always keep me in the same predicament. Mm-hmm. Stress and stress about money, stress about life, and stress about everything. Because what I learned is money is not the root of evil. It's the way I use money to make it evil.
Yeah.
So, thanks for sharing that. Because, like, I think a lot of people need to understand that. It's the way how you interpret it to use it, you mm-hmm. know? But as well, here's a good one. What kind of advice can you share among my viewers and listeners on the process of starting their own business or curiosity about faith?
Well, I think for the whole business aspect, it's really just taking that jump of whatever you think, you know, like, you're not going to be perfect the first round of it. And it might not even be a thing that you want to do. But, like, try to dabble into a lot of different things to figure out what you like and what you don't like. You know, I think Gary Vee talks about it. He's like, you know, give yourself 36 months and every 6 months try something new, you know, and you'll then be able to see, cool, like, I like doing this. I didn't like this. I didn't like this, but I like this. And so then you'll have more of a foundation about yourself of the different things that you can do, you know. But I truly believe that, like, we all have a gift inside of us that if we just tap into it, God will find the way to monetize it, you know? And so whatever that gift that you might think you have, there's probably someone who has that similar gift that is making money. And so if you know what you like to do and if you know the gift that you have, I would find someone that is doing that, that you wish that you could do, and like copy them, you know?
Yeah.
Success, you just copy success. Like, they're doing it already. You just do it now and you'll put your own spin onto it. And yeah, that's what I would say about the business aspect. And what was the second question you asked?
Curiosity about faith. You know, sometimes when some of my listeners, they'll message me, and you know, and I respect them and I love each and every one of them. But sometimes they feel like what they're going through, they feel like, you know, faith is abandoning them, and faith is not like within them because they don't know where to start. They don't know where to begin, you know, and that's nothing wrong. I mean, it's for me, I look at it like, I'm happy you asked that, you know, because you're searching and you will receive the answer you're looking for.
Yeah. I think the first thing to know is that Jesus Christ loves you and that he sent his only son down here to make the way for us to get to heaven with him. And all that who believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And so I think for anybody who's curious, know that God loves you, you know, and I'm sure any of the viewers have had experiences where God has provided for them, although they might be a believer or not, where something has happened in your favor that like was unexplainable, you know? And so that's the little proof right there, the little wink, you know, how I said, of God just kind of being like, hey, I'm here. And the great thing about it is that God is never going to force you to like search him and seek him. You know, he's a subtle God. Like he wants you to do it. You know, if he forced us to do it, think about it. If someone forced you to love them, would you really love them? No, you wouldn't love them if they forced you. And so, you know, he is just there patiently waiting, like, hey, I'm here, you know, waiting for you. And so for any of the viewers, listeners here that have kind of been having thoughts and things or like, you know, man, you know, is God there? Or I know I believe in God, but my walk isn't there. You know, the best thing to do, I say, is go to a room, turn off the lights, get on your knees, and just ask for God to show up in your life and, you know, ask for forgiveness. You know, it's fairly simple. You say that you believe, you know, that God sent his only son down, you know, for us and our sins, and that you believe he rose again on the third day. And that you believe that, you know, that if you believe in God, that you won't perish and you'll have eternal life. And having that info and deciding to repent, and repent means to go against your old ways. You know, the old way of living, and repent of your sins means it you to turn away from it. You do that, you have eternity in heaven, because remember, we are souls living in a body. And so we're going somewhere when this body no longer goes no more.
True.
Now the question is, where are you going to go? And it really boils down to this, because where we go is up to us. Right? if we choose to stay in our sin, that means that we're choosing to be away from God.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because we're choosing the sin. We're choosing the way that isn't God, which is our sin. Right? And so if we choose that thing, that sin, that means we're choosing to be away from God. Now, heaven is living with God. So if you choose to be away from God, I'll leave it just at that. Because it's either heaven or hell. It's not anywhere else. Eternity. True. Eternity.
I think you're absolutely right. It's that sometimes when we think about it, it's just like goes one way or another way. And we determine on how we put it in perspective. And I understand what you're saying. So, just wanted to recap on what we've been kind of going through and just relaying to the majority of our listeners and audiences, like having faith in your business and having faith in with yourself, growing a relationship with God and with yourself. Cause sometimes we feel like we get misled. Sometimes we get depressed. Sometimes that we, as humans, that we don't know what the way we're walking, but taking the initiative to have that play in your daily life routine, you know, getting closer, because when you have faith in, when you have faith in yourself, you have faith in your. So, ladies and gentlemen, we did have some malfunctions on equipment, and unfortunately, Alex had to drop off the air. But at that note, you know, sharing among my boy Alex and myself on the way we incorporate having faith in our business and having faith with ourselves. Once again, we're just sharing our experiences, you know, because this is a good topic to basically share to also add into your routine. If not, don't worry about it. But we would like to share among the world that sometimes when you feel like, hey, I'm not getting where I need to be in life, or my business is not being successful in life, or my relationship's not being successful in life, maybe it's a way from calling yourself to maybe step back and say, you know what, I'm willing and waiting for God to open up himself to me. And that's really thrilled. But for that, I want to thank each and every one of you for listening and also jumping on. I want to wish each and every one of you a wonderful good evening. And y'all already know the phrase, got to get up and go get it. You have a good night.